And I'd like you to turn this morning, please, in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. And I'm going to read a familiar verse. Usually we hear this somewhere along the line when it comes to the last Sunday of the month or the first Sunday of the month. But I want to use that as a launching pad for some comments that I'd like to make this morning. I trust will be a help and a blessing to you. Philippians chapter 3, please, this morning. Looking at verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Begins this way. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you're going to do one thing at the end of this year, going into next year, if you're going to do one thing, let it be what Paul did. Forgetting those things that are behind. Amen? Amen. And looking forward to those things, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal, verse 14, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's something out there, Paul says, that I want to attain, that I want to get, and I cannot let the past be an anchor that's holding me back to what the Lord has for me. And then in verse 15, he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If we are mature, if we are believers, then we need to have this mind to forget those things that are behind, move forward to those things that are ahead. Now, I want to begin by kind of making a similarity with this passage to what I've titled, No Excess Baggage. No Excess Baggage. It's been over a year now that you as a church raised money to send Cheryl and I to Hawaii for our 40th anniversary as pastors here. I turned 65 and then we were married 45 years and you raised money for us. And we haven't been able to schedule that trip. Well, I'm happy to report we leave January 11th on a Friday and go to Hawaii for a week thanks to you and your generosity. And we appreciate that very much. And we will, as many of you have done, when we get there, we will go through airport security. And they will remind us how important it is not to take certain items with us on our trip. Now, we've been through their security a number of times, so we're kind of familiar with what isn't allowed, but everybody forgets every now and then. I don't know how many pocket knives I've lost to the TSA agents. And I appreciate the TSA agents. You know, sometimes we look, we think, what's wrong with a little bottle of water? What's wrong with, you know, a little pocket knife? What's wrong? Well, you know, they want us to be safe, and I appreciate what they do. Amen? We need to treat them nice and appreciate what they do. But honestly, sometimes we think, boy, that's so minuscule. That's so, you know, 3 ounces. That's not much of anything. But there's a reason for all of that. But they'll make sure that we don't have those items that could be dangerous on a flight. And, you know, I, like many of you, we've had experiences. I'll never forget. I've told you this story. I'll never forget the time that I went through and I beeped and the lady TSA agent put on her rubber gloves and slapped them real quick and said, bend over. And then she started laughing and she says, I'm just joking with you. And I'm glad she was joking with me. But you walk into that thing that screens you and it shows up, you know, if there's anything on you that happens. As a matter of fact, the last time we flew, I went through and I got caught. I raised my hands, I did this, the scan went around and it showed some hot spots. And they had to search me. And after we were done, I told Cheryl, I've told you this before, I says, you are married to a hot man. There's nothing there, but thank goodness that they do those security measures. And so we'll be going through that. But when I thought of this passage and I thought of that process, I thought, you know, going into the new year, there are some things that we just shouldn't take with us into the new year. Amen? There are just some things we ought to leave behind. And that's what Paul said here. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to those things that are ahead. Now, I have three things that I'm going to speak on this morning that I think are things that we ought to leave behind. There's a fourth one, but it's blank. The fourth one is for you to fill in, because what I share this morning may not touch on something you have that could be considered excess baggage that you don't want to take into the new year, and it would be better to commit it to the Lord and just forget those things that are behind, right? Right? And so with that thought in mind, I want to begin. The first one that I want to talk about that's really excess baggage that should not go into the new year's flight of going into the new year is the word regrets. Everybody say regrets. What a word. Of the three that I'm going to talk about this morning, I struggle with this one most. I really do. I struggle with regrets. You know, that sense that if I'd have said it differently, it would have been better. If I'd have done this a little sooner, it would have ended up better than it is now. If I just hadn't have said that, it really would have been better. If I'd have got started on this project just a little bit sooner. And regrets can just wear you down. How many besides me have had to deal with regrets sometimes? Come on, boy, look at that. Hands all over the place, all right? Regrets. I wish I had. The problem with regrets is that it becomes an anchor that holds you to the past. It becomes something that holds you down. It doesn't let you freely go forward. Because regrets is one of those things that becomes excess baggage. And I hope in this new year that when you get ready to go into the new year, that spiritual TSA agents will say, stop right there. You got some things that can't go through to the new year, some regrets, and he'll make you leave them behind. And we know that's the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit will help us with regrets. Now, Paul said, I'm going to leave some things behind. And I'm certain that Paul had some regrets. I'm sure looking back over his life, there was some things that he said, I regret doing that. I regret not believing that Jesus was the Son of God. I regret arresting Christians. I regret killing some of those people for their faith. I regret that. But had he allowed that to continue in his life, it would have weighted him down and would not have allowed him to become the apostle extraordinaire that he was. That's why I think Philippians is so important, this third chapter, 13th verse, when he said, I'm going to forget those things that are behind. You can't do much about regrets. You really can't. It's already done. It's over. It's finished. Now, we can try to do better in the year to come, and we should, but if we let the sole idea of regret really hinder us, then we don't have release. And what we need, instead of taking regrets into the new year, we need to take a life that is released from those regrets, right? That are released from those regrets. Fulton Ousler. Fulton was raised in a Baptist home. He was raised to follow the Lord, but he became an agnostic. Later in his life, Fulton would make a trip with his wife to the Holy Land. And in the Holy Land, he was impressed with that land and the story of the Bible. He left, and then he went back again for a second time. After his second trip to the Holy Land, he got back and said, I'm going to write a book so that people would understand how important it is. He came back to faith after a trip to the Holy Land, and he wrote a book that probably you know about or have read. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told, by Fulton Ousler, and was written because he was so impressed by the Holy Land. He said this about regret. Listen to this. He said, many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear of the future. Many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear of the future. I think that's an incredible quote, because that's what regrets do. They rob you of your future. And so when we have regrets, we become fearful of moving forward. We become fearful of trying something again. Well, I failed 4 or 5 times. I regret. So I'm not going to try again. Who knows but what the next time could be successful. Amen. Henry Ford is the one who said, failure is just an opportunity to begin more intelligently. That's all it is. But we can let regret rob us of our future, or we can do as the Apostle Paul said, let it go, leave it behind. Regret is excess baggage we should not take into the new year. Now that's hard. And as I said before, this is the one that I struggle with the most. I do. I have to battle constantly over regrets. I wish I would have started this sooner. I wish I would have dealt with that situation a little bit different way. I wish I had have preached this instead of that. I wish I would have said it this way instead of that way. Regrets. I wish we would have invested this instead of that. I wish I would have saved more. I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have studied the Word more. We can live like that, or we can say with Paul, I am going to leave those things behind. Forgetting those things, no regrets are going to follow me into the new year. I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Amen. John Barrymore, those that are my age and a little older will recognize that name from the Barrymore family of actors. He said this about regret. A man is not old until regrets take the place of dreams. A man is not old until regrets take the place of dreams. And that probably happened in his life. He had really kind of a rough ending to his life. But boy, that is the truth. When regrets replace our dreams, we're done. We have no more future. We have no more hope for the future. But that's what Paul was saying. I am forgetting those things which are behind. I'm going to bury the regrets, put them in the ground where they belong, and I'm going to reach forward to those things that are ahead. And I think that should be our goal for the new year. Hallelujah. No regrets. Now, it's not easy. And I would be the first to admit it is not easy to deal with regrets, because they just keep coming up and coming up and coming up. It's like the enemy likes to, we like to bury the regrets, and the enemy likes to grave rob, right? And dig them back up again and throw them at us. But we just need to do with regrets like my grandma and then my mother. I still remember them, what they used to do with when a cat or a dog would come into the house that they didn't want. They would, I can still see it in my mind. My little portly grandmother with her apron on, and somebody let in a dog. She loved animals, but not in the house. And someone would let in a dog or a cat, and she would bend over and go, just like that. Or flip her apron, just like that. Get it out. Now, she would let my blind uncle have birds in the house, and I couldn't understand that. But she would just, that's the way she'd do. And then I remember my mom would do the same thing. My mom kept a really clean house, and if we let the dog in, just like that. And you know what I found myself doing? Not dogs in our house, because that's okay, but there's a cat that runs around our neighborhood. And I'll go outside, and I'll see that cat, and you know what I do? Just instinctive. Get out of here. Not realizing that cat's probably thinking, he loves me. He loves me. That's what we need to do to regrets. When regrets try to come into our house, we need to say, get out of here. Amen. We need to say, get out of here, because regrets will hold us back from our dreams. Don't let them do that. Secondly, the word resentments. Resentments are excess baggage that we don't need for the new year. Instead of resentments, we need to be rejoicing. Turn with me back a couple of pages in your Bibles to Ephesians, please, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Resentment. Resentments come when people hurt us, when they say things about us, when they offend us. Resentments come when people disappoint us. Resentments can even come when we are disappointed by God. Resentments. We find ourselves resentful of people or places or situations and even the Lord. Resentments are a dangerous thing to take into the new year. It will ruin the flight. That's why that spiritual TCA agent we call the Holy Spirit will not allow that to come if we'll invite him. Won't allow that to come. How do we deal with resentments? We'll talk about that in a moment. But resentments are something that we don't want to take with us. Now, I'm not saying that anyone here is dealing with some resentments in your life. I'm not saying that. It could be, it's possible, that no one in this building right now has any resentments to deal with. And if that's the case, I say thank the Lord. But the chances are good with this many people together in one place that at least some might be here. And I'm not blaming you if there are some there, because some things that have happened to you might have genuinely be something that you are dealing with and you're working through. Something happened that was out of your control, but it hurt you deeply. And I'll be the first to say the Lord wants to help heal that hurt. But it can lead to resentment. And resentment is something that really will poison us if we let it go. Let me read verse 31, Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Paul says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. In Philippians, Paul said, I'm going to leave some things behind. How many think this is a good list to leave behind? These are the products of resentment, in my opinion. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. Do it quick. I think when we become resentful, these things become are the byproduct. What is the answer to those things? What are the answer to those things? The answer is verse 32. Be kind to one another. Put away these things and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. What? Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What is the answer to resentment? It's forgiving. It's forgiving. That's a tough one. Boy, I know, and you know, that's a tough one to forgive God for disappointing you, to forgive a husband or wife or a family member, to forgive a neighbor, to forgive someone in the church, to forgive a pastor. I've been preaching now for almost 47, 48 years. I started preaching when I was 16 years old. And that's a long time ago. And I'm sure, though unintentional, I can say before God this morning, I have never intentionally preached anything to hurt anybody. I've preached on difficult subjects. And I have had people come to me later, not many, but some saying, I was really offended at what you said. And I quickly said, well, please forgive me and my words, but if I did it, I apologize and I'm sorry. But if it's the Holy Spirit dealing with you, we can't apologize for that. And sometimes, honestly, maybe I said it the wrong way. That's my greatest fear, is that I will say something on a delicate subject in the wrong way and hurt someone. Never intend that. But I'm sure there are those through those years who were resentful maybe toward me. I would hope they would have in their heart the ability to forgive me. But then that leads me to regret. Oh, I wish I hadn't have preached on that. Well, no. If the Lord speaks to a pastor about preaching on something, he needs to do that, or she needs to do that, right? needs to do that. I wrestled with this. Last night, I was trying to get things together, and I couldn't. It's been in my mind all week, and I tried to get my notes, and I couldn't. And I just, in my little room that I study in sometimes, I just ripped it up and tore it and threw it in the garbage and walked into the other room, and Cheryl was already in bed, and I was trying to get my thoughts, and I sit down at the table, and the Lord wouldn't release me from this. So I hope none of you were offended today that I'm talking about this, but my friends, resentment, regrets, our excess baggage that we should not take into the new year. Amen. Should not take into the new year. Thank you. We don't want to do that. But what is the answer for resentment? It is to forgive one another even as God and Christ forgave you. Am I asking you to do or is Paul asking us to do an easy thing? Not at all. Not at all. I prayed with a gentleman after first service. Most of you would not know the circumstances and boy, it's a horrible situation. But the Lord is helping him. Sometimes forgiveness comes in stages. It doesn't just say, well, I forgive him and bing. It sometimes comes in stages, right? But when the time is right, complete healing will come. Corrie Ten Boom, you'll recognize that name. It's interesting that today, December 30th, 1944... she was released from Ravensbrück concentration camp. She and her family helped Jewish people who were being slaughtered by the Nazis. In their Dutch home, they had built a little secret place, a hiding place, where they would hide Jewish people, children, adults who were being pursued by the Nazis. They were caught by the Nazis and they were imprisoned. Corrie and her sister, Betsy, were taken to Ravensbrück, one of the most horrible, they were all horrible, but one of the horrible concentration camps. And while they were there, her sister Betsy died from the cruelties of that prison camp. Because of a clerical error, the person keeping the records accidentally put Corrie's name down on the release roster. They didn't release many, but by accident they put her name down instead of someone else, and they released Corrie, and she got out. Her sister died there. Her father, I don't think she ever knew what happened to him and the rest of the family. When she got out, she became what she called herself a tramp for the Lord. And she began to speak wherever they would open a door. Corrie had tremendous faith in God. From the little girl on up, she had tremendous faith in God. And she began to preach the message of forgiveness. As a matter of fact, I want to read to you a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness." Incredible. What she went through and to be able to write those words. Let me repeat them. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. Corrie Ten Boom believed that the way you deal with resentment is to forgive the one that has offended you. That would be put to the test in Corrie's life as she was preaching one evening. She was preaching to a group of people, a large group of people, and she was preaching on forgiveness and the horrors of the Ravensbrück concentration camp during World War II. And she was preaching on the necessity to forgive. And up from the back walked a gentleman. And as he walked down the aisle, she thought, I think I know him. I'm not sure. And as he walked down, she stepped down to pray with him. And he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And Corrie said, "Well, you look familiar to me." Something to this effect. You can read the story in her book. But he said, "I am the guard that was at Ravensbrück." And I think he said, "assisted or did something to the effect of killing your sister." And Corey says, for a split moment, I had to make the decision. Is the Word of God true? Is what I'm really preaching true? And she had to make the decision. Because he asked her, can you ever forgive me? But in that split moment of time, the Holy Spirit enabled her to do what she could not do in herself. She embraced him, forgave him, and led him to faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. She dealt with resentment by forgiving. When you go into the new year, I pray God help us, none of us have any resentments we haven't resolved through forgiveness. Now, it might be a process, but start the process, and healing will come. Healing will come. Amen? Healing will come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, regrets, resentments. The last is the word reproach. There are certain things that are a reproach to God. They're a reproach to us. But one of the definitions of reproach is condemnation. Condemning someone. What I want to talk about lastly is self-reproach or self-condemnation. Sometimes we are really hard on ourselves when we fail. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says this. There is therefore now, what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, say it with me, made me free from the law of sin and death. Self-condemnation. We're hard on ourselves when we fail. Stop beating yourself down because Jesus wants to lift you up. And that's what we do. We beat ourselves down when we fail. I didn't pray enough. I didn't give enough. I didn't love enough. I didn't forgive enough. I didn't do this enough. And we begin to beat ourselves down, beat ourselves down. You're a terrible dad. You're a terrible mom. You're a terrible son or daughter. We begin to self-condemn ourselves. We become a reproach to ourselves. And God doesn't want that. Jesus wants to build you up. Amen? Now, you know, we've all failed. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Because if you don't raise your hands, I know you're lying. And so we've all failed at something. But listen, failing God is an opportunity to ask Him to help you do it again. Maybe you have not treated people the way you should. Maybe you failed at that. Then don't beat yourself up. Ask God to help you, give you the strength to treat them the right way. Amen? To treat them the right way. I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't had to do myself. Beat myself up. Self-condemnation. And the enemy loves it. He likes it. You know, all of us know about how to build a little fire to roast marshmallows. But the enemy would like to give us so much fuel for the fire, we could roast a cow. He just keeps giving us things. Here's some fuel. Stoke that fire. Get it built up. You're bad. Self-condemnation. Devil says, I can bring some things you don't even know you're bad at. I'll bring them to you. And he just stokes the fire. Self-condemnation. That's not something we want to take in the new year. According to Romans 8:2, we want to be free. Free. I'm a bad parent. Well, maybe you are. But you can learn how to be a good one. I'm a bad son. Probably. But you can learn how to be a good one. Amen? And we know there's no bad daughters, so we won't go there. But I'm a bad Christian. Well, that may be, but you can become a good one. Go into the new year with the anticipation, I am free from self-condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And so let's begin to walk after the Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me live out this life. Help me live as I should live. Help me to be the kind of son or daughter or husband or wife or Christian that you want me to be. Help me with that, Lord, and He will. Don't take self-condemnation into the new year. I wish we could set up one of those little scanners this morning. A spiritual scanner. And the TSA agent, the Spirit of God, could say, lift your hands, spread your legs. Whoa, clip, 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 plop, bend over. No. The Holy Spirit could say, wait, let's deal with a couple things before you come in for your flight into the new year. Let's deal with those regrets. Let's deal with those resentments. Let's deal with that beating yourself up. Let's take care of those. And here, we'll help you do it. It's called the balm of Gilead that is applied for healing. Here's how we'll do it. Together, we'll do it. And we'll get you into the new year free and looking forward to what God has for you. Amen? Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. For the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder even where soul and spirit meet. Thank you for speaking to us this morning about things that we might wrestle with. For me, it's this regret thing. Lord, help me with that. I don't want my regrets to take the place of my dreams. So I give those to you in Jesus' name. For someone else, it might be resentment. For someone else, it might be they're beating themselves up. Whatever it is, Lord, we want to be free from this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to go into this new year free, Lord, rejoicing, forgiven. We want to go in with dreams of what God has for us. And Lord, the fourth point this morning is a blank. There may be something else that someone is wrestling with, dealing with. And whatever that is that needs to be taken care of before the new year, Lord, help them to just fill in the blank. And whatever it is, help them to say, Lord, I commit that to you in Jesus' name. Maybe it is my temper. Maybe it is some bitterness. Maybe it is, Lord, the way I've treated people. Maybe it is something that I've said that I shouldn't have said. Whatever it is, Lord, let them write it in the blank and say, Jesus, help me with it. Holy Spirit, help me with it. And I know that you will. I know that you will. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your word. Now, Lord, as we get ready to dismiss and go our separate ways, we thank you for today. We thank you for the first service and this, the second service, where we've been able to fellowship and worship together. We pray that you would just be with everyone, and we look forward to seeing them again, if not before next Sunday in God's house. But Lord, most of all, help us to do as Paul said, forget those things that are behind and press forward to those things that are ahead. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand offering for his word today. Amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful afternoon. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Have a great, great day.